The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love the good day, tokers and tokettes. Welcome. It is Tuesday, July 23rd, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Hey, so glad you could join us here today. We've got a blockbuster show for you today, and we're going to start it off with some great news that's in our 420 radio news headlines. New Hampshire has become the 19th medical marijuana state in the United States. Well, it's one of those good news, bad news things. We'll tell you all about that in the 420 radio news. Also on today's show, we've got a behind the headlines segment for you today. We're going to look at the headlines recently on multiple sclerosis. You know, this is something we've been tracking because of our good friend Lindsay Reinhart in Idaho with the Idaho 3. She's desperately trying to get out of the state of Idaho to move to Oregon so she can use cannabis to treat her multiple sclerosis and fight for medical marijuana back in Idaho. You can find out more by going to rad-r.us/ID3fund. But this latest thing in behind the headlines, a study that's come out of the UK that says THC in cannabis does not slow multiple sclerosis progression, contrary to what Lindsay says. We'll see what's going on with that, and we'll take a look behind the headlines to find out what the real story is here. Also on today's show, our friend Cheryl Schumann has been just lighting up the TV airwaves. She's been on CNN, Headline News, Piers Morgan, Ricky Lake Show, and today we've got new video where she appeared on the Katie Couric program, as well as Good Morning America, touting the marijuana moms who use cannabis and say that that makes them better parents. So we'll take a look at that clip in our activist agenda at half past. And then at 45 past, time for a radical rant. We're going to attack some reefer madness. Another one of these prohibition profiteers from the rehab industry has written a post up on Huffington Post called Legalizing Marijuana, the Real Costs. And it's almost like an encyclopedia, a list of talking points from Project Sam and Kevin Sabet. So I'm going to give you the simple sound bites you need to defeat all of them and how to recognize the typical rehab gambits in the war on drugs and their propaganda rhetoric. Plus, we got Bacon Dan calling in with some Electric Tuesday music. Oh, a song I just haven't heard quite enough of. I'm sure glad we're playing it today. It needs to be played at least 600 or 700 million more times. So we'll check that out at 20 after. And it's two more days till we're at the new Rolla J Studios at the Buck and Bronco House. So we're looking forward to that. Check us out on
Thursday.
We'll
be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, July 23rd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. New Hampshire's the 19th state allowing medical marijuana use, from the San Francisco Chronicle. Governor Maggie Hassan signed a law Tuesday making New Hampshire the 19th state to allow seriously ill residents to use marijuana to treat their illnesses. The law allows patients with cancer and other conditions to possess up to 2 ounces of marijuana obtained from nonprofit dispensaries. To qualify for medical marijuana, New Hampshire residents would have to have been a patient of the prescribing doctor for at least 90 days, must have tried other remedies, and must have exhibited certain symptoms. The law took effect with Hassan's signature, but getting the program operating could take up to 2 years. The bill calls for a commission to be appointed as soon as possible to implement the new system. Patients will be issued special ID cards to obtain the drug from dispensaries and to possess it. Under the new law, up to 4 dispensaries can be licensed and have a maximum of 80 plants, 160 seedlings, and 80 ounces of marijuana, or 6 ounces per qualifying patient. They also would have a limit of 3 mature cannabis plants, 12 seedlings, and 6 ounces for each patient who designates the dispensary as a treatment center. The compromise bill passed last month eliminated an option for patients to also grow the marijuana at home. Home grow option supporters had argued some patients need legal access to the drug more quickly, and waiting for dispensaries to start operating put them through needless suffering. But Hassan said she wouldn't sign the bill if it included those provisions. California Democratic Party tells Obama to halt medical marijuana raids, from rawstory.com. The California Democratic Party approved a resolution over the weekend that called on President Barack Obama to halt federal raids on marijuana dispensaries. The resolution, sponsored by the Brownie Mary Democratic Club of Riverside County, noted that 18 states in the District of Columbia had legalized the use of marijuana for medical purposes, while Colorado and Washington state had legalized the use of marijuana for recreational purposes. The resolution states, therefore, be it resolved that the California Democratic Party requests President Obama to allow the newly enacted marijuana legalization laws in Colorado and Washington to go into effect with no federal interference. And be it further resolved that the California Democratic Party asks President Obama to end the Department of Justice interference and raids by federal agencies in states with medical marijuana laws, and a comprehensive study be immediately undertaken to produce recommendations for reform of our nation's marijuana prohibition. Recreational marijuana sales banned in more than 24 Colorado cities, from Huffington Post. On Tuesday, Colorado Springs, the state's second largest city, is expected to vote to ban retail recreational marijuana stores, the Associated Press reports. 4 of 9 Colorado Springs City Council members have already said they will vote against retail weed stores, but even if legal marijuana sales are approved, Mayor Steve Bach has vowed to veto recreational pot shops in city limits. The city council could just ban recreational marijuana sales altogether or allow for marijuana sales, but also pass a moratorium on opening pot shops until after Colorado voters weigh in on approving tax rates for recreational marijuana in the state this November. Colorado's 271 municipalities and 64 counties must decide by October 1st as to whether they will allow legal recreational marijuana sales. Arkansas Attorney General rejects wording of medical marijuana plan, from KHOU.com. Arkansas Attorney General Dustin McDaniel has rejected the wording of a proposed initiated act that would legalize medical marijuana in the state. McDaniel rejected the proposal in an opinion on Monday that says the proposal by Arkansans for Responsible Medicine contains ambiguities. The measure must be certified by McDaniel before the group can begin gathering signatures to qualify for a spot on the 2014 ballot. Head of illegal marijuana dispensary ring sentenced to 21 years, from the Los Angeles Times. An Orange County man who ran a string of illegal marijuana dispensaries was sentenced to more than 21 years in prison Monday and ordered to pay more than $4.2 million in restitution. John Pops Walker, age 56, of San Clemente, pleaded guilty in an April plea agreement to drug trafficking, tax evasion, and owning weapons as a part of the drug trafficking. Walker was indicted last fall along with 13 other defendants by a federal grand jury. As the head of the drug ring, Walker operated at least 9 dispensaries set up in Los Angeles and Orange counties. He admitted to prosecutors that he made more than $25 million over 6 years and paid taxes on only a fraction of it. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, July 23rd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines to take a look at a new study from the United Kingdom that claims THC in cannabis does not slow the progression of multiple sclerosis. We'll show you the faults in that study and why we still hold hope for marijuana to help folks like our friend Lindsey Reinhardt. Listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back after this.
As we proceed to give you what you need.
Hey there. Danny Danko here, Senior Cultivation Editor of High Times Magazine. In my travels, I get to see a lot of different grow spaces, and I'm always amazed by some of the innovations and repurposing ideas that growers have to reuse products and to grow better plants. Now, we're here in the gardens of DJ Stone in Rhode Island, and we actually have DJ on hand to explain a little bit about this. So, am I right? Are these laundry buckets and laundry baskets and old crates and stuff here?
Yeah, old milk crates, and they have great big holes, and as you can see, we lined them here with some landscape meshes that allows oxygen and air right into the roots, so while the fans are circulating, the roots get great stimulation.
Wow. Oh, that's excellent. And so, do you notice that the plants grow better when they get more oxygen to the roots?
Of course. Our whole garden here is strictly organic here. We make our own mixture of soils, and the nutrients are right in the soils to begin with. So it's all natural, all organic, and the roots here just absolutely, sometimes they poke right through the mesh. Well, you know, smart pots and a lot of those other spots cost a lot of money, and these things here, they're reusable every time. You just take it out, rinse it off, throw some new landscape lining in there, and you're all set.
Well, that's real cool how you've been able to, use eco-friendly techniques like reusing other materials for a new purpose. So, thanks for the tip.
I was sleeping on the train, sleeping on Lesero Lab out in the rain, without even a single slice of pizza to my...
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines.
The Russ Belville Show.
Thank you, Dan Michaels. And for our behind the headlines today, we're going to take a look at a study that I saw coming across from the United Kingdom. It was reported in science2.0.com, and it says THC in cannabis does not slow multiple sclerosis progression. Now, this is something that caught me by surprise because, of course, our friend Lindsey Reinhardt has multiple sclerosis, and she's been using all the pharmaceutical drugs to treat it since they took her kids away, and we've seen her disease get worse and worse, whereas when she was on the cannabis, she seemed to report that she was feeling better, that her disease seemed to have stopped progressing. So I wondered a whole lot about this, and the story opens up by saying the main constituent of cannabis, tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, has not been shown to be effective in slowing the course of progressive multiple sclerosis. Okay, so we're talking about THC specifically. All right. They did this study with 98 people with MS from 27 centers around the UK, and they followed them for 8 years. And the people with progressive multiple sclerosis were randomized so that they would either receive THC capsules or identical placebo capsules for 3 years. And they wanted to see how their MS would change over those 3 years. They were given two different types of surveys to indicate how much pain they were in, how they felt the disease was progressing, and so forth. And the patients were randomly assigned to the treatment group. 329 received at least one dose of dronabinol, and 164 received at least one dose of placebo. Now, why this is significant is that word dronabinol. We're not talking about treating people with natural THC. This is actually a synthetic THC. And overall, the study found, and this is from the write-up in the Science 2.0, overall, the study found no evidence to support an effect of THC on MS progression in either of the main outcomes. Those are the two surveys that the patients were taking. Now, this confused me just a little bit because I don't recall that it was THC that we were so interested in as being something that could help to slow the progression of multiple sclerosis. What I understood to be the important cannabinoid in this circumstance was CBD. And for newer listeners out there, CBD is cannabidiol. And THC and CBD are probably the two most beneficial and active cannabinoids with respect to our health, with respect to medical uses. Now, we are finding some uses for other cannabinoids like cannabivarin and so forth, but a THCA with juicing, and those definitely deserve, you know, some study. But generally, we're talking about THC and CBD. Now, THC is the one that gets you high, and THC is the one that brings on anxiety or paranoia or any of those negative effects that sometimes a few people will associate with the use of cannabis. CBD, on the other hand, cannabidiol, has been shown to be antipsychotic. It actually moderates the effect of THC. And unfortunately, because it's been prohibited, we've been breeding out the CBD because you've been wanting to breed cannabis for the high, breed it for the THC, more bang for the buck. In a prohibited market, that's always the way it works. So now we are starting to find with these plants with a higher CBD profile and even more CBDs being bred out there, those are the ones we're interested in finding whether or not they have a neuroprotective effect and help to stave off the progression of diseases like multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and so on. So for this study to come out and say THC isn't effective is kind of like saying, you know, cough syrup's no good for a burn. Well, of course it isn't. Cough syrup isn't for burns. Cough syrup's for coughs. Neosporin's for burns. THC is for things like PTSD. CBD is for things like multiple sclerosis. And in fact, I'm not the only one that thinks that. Our own federal government is on this track. You can check out at the U.S. Patent Office. In fact, Google has a great patent search feature. And go Google patent number 663-0507. This is a patent for cannabinoids as antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In the patent, it reads, cannabinoids have been found to have antioxidant properties. This newfound property makes cannabinoids useful in the treatment and prophylaxis of a wide variety of oxidation-associated diseases, such as ischemic, age-related, inflammatory, and autoimmune diseases. The cannabinoids are found to have particular application as neuroprotectants. For example, in limiting neurological damage following ischemic insults, such as stroke and trauma, or in the treatment of neurodegenerative diseases, such as Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, and HIV dementia. And who happens to hold patent number 663-0507? It would be the United States of America's Department of Health. That's right. The U.S. government owns the patent on cannabinoids as antiprotectants and, in particularly, CBD for the use of neurodegenerative diseases. So why would the government and why would people, now again, this is a study from the UK, but why would science be so interested in finding out that THC doesn't work for multiple sclerosis when the real promise out there is that CBD is what's going to work for multiple sclerosis? Could it be they're trying to get some propaganda out there to scare us away or to lead us away from the whole idea of whole plant medical marijuana for multiple sclerosis patients? Could it be they're trying to undermine that sympathetic vote that might pass a medical marijuana law in a conservative state? Or is it that they're just trying to run out the clock until the federal government can get the stage three trials done for CBDs, and they can make some money off of that patent, treating people with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and ALS and multiple sclerosis even. Time will tell. Speaking of time,
looks like it's about that time.
It is that time. It's 20 after the hour, so raise your palm to the air. Get busy with us here on this happy 420 for the Mountain Time Zone.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky, roller rink.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Funky Roller Rink.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific.
Funky Roller Rink.
I like it.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everybody. 22 after the hour, and today for Electric Tuesday, we got a new upload here from Bacon Dan, who sometimes calls us on Tuesdays, but I don't think he's calling us today. So we're just going to go ahead with this tune because you've probably heard it. I know that, gosh, everywhere I've been going lately, I have heard this song at one point or another. Daft Punk is back, and if you remember Daft Punk, that was kind of a new techno dance kind of group going back a few years, actually. It's been a while since they've had a new album. And from the screen cap you can see here, this song features Pharrell Williams, or is it Pharrell? I'll probably pronounce it right. Is it Pharrell? Pharrell, that's what he says. All right, so Pharrell Williams on this track. He had done a track with Snoop Dogg a while back, too, that was incredibly popular, and you heard it a whole bunch of times. Also on this track, Nile Rodgers on the guitar there. Nice to see him. Good funk guitar player. Goes all the way back to the band Chic, if you remember. Good times! That was Nile Rodgers. Anyway, here they are. This is Pharrell Williams with Daft Punk with Get Lucky, the radio edit.
The legend of the phoenix, all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning. Love. All night to get lucky. We're up all night to the sun.
We're up all night to get some. We're up all night for good fun. We're up all night to get lucky. 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 The present has no ribbon. Your gift keeps on giving. What is this I'm feeling? If you wanna leave, I'm with it. To get lucky, we're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky.
We're up all night again. We're up all night again. We're up all night again. We're up all night again.
Sister.
I got straight D's.
I left my ex-girlfriend 27 messages last night.
I made my mother cry.
I let people draw on me.
I ditched my friends and let them find their own way home.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. Almost half past the hour. And if you can judge activism by how many eyeballs and ears get your message, then the next person we're about to show may be the activist of the year. And that's Cheryl Schumann, who's been on just about every cable and broadcast network I can think of. We've recently seen her on the Ricky Lake Show on CNN. She was on Headline News and the Piers Morgan Show on ABC. ABC, she was on The View, Good Morning America, and 2020. And next, we're going to show you a video that was just recently shot on Katie Couric's show. It's all profiling the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club and the marijuana moms, the parents who say that smoking pot makes them better parents. So let's take a look at this clip from the Katie Couric show, followed by Good Morning America.
Why she says vaporizing, eating, and cooking with pot saved her life.
It gave me my life back with my children and my family.
That's surprising revelations from Dame Helen Mirren.
I know that you have a real thing for loose-eyed heels.
Helen Mirren in a sex shop. I'm having a hard time picturing it.
Plus,
why didn't I think of that?
Women who turn dreams into reality with incredible inventions.
Can I just say, yum?
From Studio One in New York, it's Katie.
Show in store for all of you today, but before we get started, here's a little blast from the past. Take a look.
These high school boys and girls are having a hop at the local soda fountain. Innocently, they dance. Innocent of a new and deadly menace lurking behind closed doors. Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
Wow. Times have changed, right? Well, that was a trailer to the 1936 movie Reefer Madness, and we've gone from fighting the evil weed from hell to a place where marijuana is being used legally in many states and is poised to become a booming and legitimate industry. That's our headline story, and we begin with a California mom who's blazing a trail for the new high society. She calls herself the Martha Stewart of marijuana, and she says, that's a good thing. Cannabis, Mary Jane, pot, weed. No matter what you call it, marijuana is becoming mainstream. From Showtime's hit series Weeds, about a suburban California mom who sells marijuana to support her family.
Gentlemen, I sell marijuana.
To real life moms making headlines.
Pot mom, the suburban soccer mother accused of running a multi-million dollar marijuana operation.
48% of Americans say they've tried marijuana at some point in their lives. And the old stereotype of stoners is going up in smoke. Cheryl Schumann is proof that the face of those who partake and those who even sell the drug is changing.
There are basically two kinds of cannabis, medical grade cannabis, sativas and indicas.
She runs the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club, a multi-million dollar business, and hosts regular parties at her home where she and other moms cook, eat, smoke, and vaporize with marijuana.
Marijuana leaf.
And as weed grows in the suburbs and beyond, so has public approval. A recent poll found that more than half of Americans think marijuana should be legalized. With 18 states and Washington, D.C. already allowing pot for medicinal use, and Colorado and Washington clearing the way for adult recreational use, the drug that was once taboo may be coming to a store near you. So please welcome Cheryl Schumann and her daughter, Amy. Nice to see you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. This is so interesting. interesting. You've really, Cheryl, made a cottage industry out of cannabis, but it comes from your own experiences with marijuana. Tell me about when you started using marijuana and why.
Sure. I was a corporate woman working in film and television, specializing in PR and product placement. And in 1996, I was going through a really bad divorce and a stressful time. And my psychiatrist had prescribed Prozac and Xanax and a number of pharmaceuticals. And then one day he looked at me and nothing else was working. And he looked at me and he said, Prop 215 just passed. It's legal. And lady, you need to smoke a joint. So,
really?
He rolled one up for me and showed me how to do it because I had never even smoked a cigarette. I didn't drink. I'd never done drugs. And within two puffs, I was smiling and laughing for the first time. And I would rather have those side effects any day. Then fast forward to 2006, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And I used cannabis as a last resort, and it saved my life. And in fact, I don't smoke cannabis. I vaporize cannabis. It's a healthier alternative.
So you're a true believer. I mean, we don't want to give people false hope that marijuana can cure their cancer, but you feel it had an instrumental role in your recovery.
Agreed. I would never be a person to go out there and claim this is a miracle cure, stop everything you're doing. I don't believe that. I believe that it was a combination of different therapies, and it worked for me.
Tell me how you turned from using marijuana to turning it into a multi-million dollar business. How did that come about?
Well, I juice the plant. I have cannabis juice every morning, which is actually a non-psychoactive way to use cannabis. It's specifically for tumor growth. And when I decided to use cannabis, I needed a lot of it. So we decided to do our own garden. So my daughter and I, we planned our garden. We planted our garden together right there with my tomatoes and zucchinis and everything else. And so we formed a legal collective because we wanted to do everything legal. And then with the extra that we had, when people found out that I was back in town from the entertainment industry, I started getting calls from all of my friends who are producers, actors, and so forth. And they said, oh my God, we heard you have cancer, but we also heard you have a marijuana garden. We want to be a part of it.
So, you know. More importantly, I guess, right?
And so then it was strange. The day I got back, I got a call from a friend of mine who was the executive producer of Wilfred, and he said, I need your plants for a TV series that we're doing. And that's when I realized, hey, there's a huge opportunity for a business here.
And Amy, how is it for you? Your mom is sort of known as the Martha Stewart of marijuana. Is there any part of you that thinks this is a little strange?
No, absolutely not. My mom is an amazing role model, and I consider her the modern-day Pauline Sabin, the woman that overturned alcohol prohibition. And my mom is going to overturn marijuana prohibition, so this is historical. And it's like, I can't believe she's my mom at the same time.
And how big a business is this for you, Cheryl? Because obviously it's been very lucrative.
Well, nationally, they estimate that cannabis will be a legal $47 billion industry by 2016. And for me personally, I make $500 an hour as an expert. But also, we just raised $10 million to take the concept of the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club worldwide.
Tell me,
I'm very excited.
What is the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club? I mean, who are the members? What do you guys do? Obviously, I'm assuming you get together and enjoy marijuana. Yeah.
Yes, we love marijuana. what happened, and we wanted to make sure that we had a legal garden. So when I had my legal garden, I give parties and I give my cannabis free to my friends, just like you do your tomatoes.
But they are not using it for medicinal purposes, are
in
they?
In California, it's all medicinal.
So these are only people patient. Who actually have doctors prescribing marijuana
yes.
for their maladies, right?
Exactly.
So these aren't just people who want to come over and get stoned with you.
No.
We have a mom here, actually, Cheryl, who is an advocate. Georgia Edson is from Denver, Colorado, and the mother of an 8-year-old boy. And Georgia, you know, I know in Colorado, marijuana is legal, as we heard, for recreational in addition to medicinal use. So how did you start using it?
I started using medical marijuana because I'm a runner, and I was diagnosed with horrific bursitis. And my physician said, you're going to be taking high doses of ibuprofen and getting cortisone shots in your hip for as long as you continue to run, and stopping running wasn't an option. And the idea of potentially wearing out the joints because of cortisone shots and continuing to take large doses of ibuprofen wasn't really a good health option for me. And the idea of using a topical infused with cannabis was suggested to me. And I thought, gosh, I'd never even heard of such a thing. And it's literally a lotion or a cream, and you apply it to the infected area, and cannabis is a natural anti-inflammatory. And within 3 months of using only the cannabis-infused topical, I was able to run a half marathon.
Well, I know that you believe that marijuana, as you've told us here today, has healing powers, but are you right? And what are the potential dangers of using marijuana? Dr. Sanjay Gupta is here. He'll answer those questions right after this.
Next, the controversial debate regarding marijuana. Is it a gateway drug?
This is hypocrisy. It could potentially help people who really need it. The idea that it somehow tricks your brain to now try LSD, now try heroin, now try cocaine. There's just not evidence of that.
That's next.
Up for some Beverly Hills moms, they say it's marijuana, and that is new, the mommy's new helper. It makes them better wives, they say, better mothers. It's all legal medically in California, with marijuana purchased at dispensaries with a prescription, but it's giving new meaning to the term potluck party.
Oh no.
On a recent evening at a home in Beverly Hills, a few moms gathered to enjoy food, friendship, and a few laughs.
I do garnish incredibly well.
Yes. But this was no ordinary potluck party.
Vaporizer time.
Welcome to the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club, a place where marijuana moms congregate to take a break from the stress of family life.
So this is strawberry pop.
Your hostess, the self-proclaimed Martha Stewart of marijuana, Cheryl Schumann.
Cannabis not only made me a better mom, cannabis made me a better human being. Yes.
Cannabis made you a better mom?
Absolutely.
So how did this all come to be? Well, flashback 10 years. Cheryl was a married mother of two and a successful optician to the stars. But after her marriage fell apart, she says her entire life slipped out of focus.
I was just completely disabled by a crippling depression.
Cheryl needed an escape. She tried prescription drugs, but popping Prozac to get up and Xanax to come down every day felt more like a prison than a panacea.
So one day I was at my therapist's office and I told him, I said, please help me get my life back. And he said, you need to smoke a joint. So I took a hit off of it. I was smiling and happy and I was like, this is really great.
But critics might say, yes, you are high.
I was definitely medicated, but I will tell you that I felt better having two puffs of cannabis at that time than I had ever had any kind of results with pharmaceuticals.
Cheryl's daughter Amy agrees.
I felt like my mom was checked out on prescription pills. It was like living with a zombie. But when she would smoke, she was smiling. She was connecting with us. It felt like we had our mom back.
Medical marijuana is now legal in 18 states, but parenting and pot? Still taboo.
You know, though, there are people out there thinking, mothers who smoke pot are bad moms.
I'm going to tell it from the point of view of my 10-year-old child. When I'm in pain, I'm in bed for days. I don't talk. I'm miserable. My son will come up to me and say, Mom, it's time to medicate. That's
and
what
he
I'm...
He means?
He means, go get some cannabis. Come back to us. That's what I tell you. If your 10-year-old child is okay with it, I think adults should be okay with it.
It's a controversial story, but you know, there was a headline recently that more women in America are dying of prescription drug overdose than anything else, and than anyone else. So these moms maintain that marijuana used responsibly is a safer alternative.
Although we should point out, bought with a prescription in California.
Well, and many of them aren't, so...
The Beverly Hills Cannabis Club. Thanks to CherylSchumann.com for letting us use those videos. We appreciate that, Cheryl, and all the help and support you've given us here at 420 Radio. Can't wait to talk to you next time. oh my gosh, and she was high. Oh no, she was high. Isn't it interesting how you can give a word to someone's state of being that they're happy and they're smiling and they're connecting with people? And just by the use of one syllable, you can denigrate it as being something bad and evil. Good for you. Get high. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
There is a panic in the air, ladies and gentlemen, and it has to do with marijuana. No, it's not the threat of pot zombies coming after strains. No. It's the rehab industry, scared to death. They're just about to lose that steady trickle of people assigned to be their clients. Those easily rehabbed people who help puff up the statistics of how successful they are so they can continue to get more federal grants and more customers from the criminal justice system. In fact, according to the treatment episode data set for admissions, which accounts for about 58% of the admissions into rehabilitation centers in the United States, fully 59% of those who are admitted solely for cannabis are admitted there because of the criminal justice system forced them to be there. That's about 3 out of 5 rehabbers in there for pot alone, forced there by a drug court. And then, of course, when you force them to stop smoking pot on the threat of pee tests that will send them to jail, it's amazing how successful your rehab program is. Well, one of those rehabbers has shown up in the pages of Huffington Post. The name is Denny Carice, scientist, clinician for substance abuse treatment field. What? Someone who's in substance abuse has this to say: legalizing marijuana, the real costs. And this is pretty much as compact as you can get the Project Sam talking points into one written piece. So I got to congratulate her on that, at least. Good job on the writing here. She opens up by noting that the polls now are anywhere from 40 to 52% support for legalization of marijuana. And she wants to, of course, scare us into what a terrible idea that would be by asking, what are some of the real costs our country would pay for legalizing pot? All right. Well, the first one is the one that we call the Sabbat conjecture. Tax savings. At what cost? Pro-legalization groups are often comparing the potential tax revenue of marijuana with alcohol and tobacco. Huh? I don't recall ever comparing what we'd make off marijuana to what we'd make off alcohol or tobacco. I've said treat it like alcohol, you know, tax it and regulate it. But I never said we'd make as much off alcohol. But anyway, all right. And she says here, of course, the revenue doesn't come close to the enormous cost to society from alcohol and tobacco. This is the Sabbat conjecture. We can't legalize marijuana because then it would cost us more than the taxes would bring in. Just like alcohol and tobacco. They bring in about $40 billion in taxes. They cost about $400 billion in the productivity and the drunk driving deaths and the cirrhosis and the lung cancer and yada, yada, yada. Well, here's the problem with the Sabbat conjecture. That would be scary if marijuana were alcohol and tobacco. But alcohol and tobacco are toxic and addictive. See, alcohol, and this is from her writing, this is from the Huffington Post piece. In 2010, there were 15,990 alcohol liver deaths and 25,692 alcohol-induced deaths, excluding alcohol-related accidents and homicides. Right. And in 2010, there were zero related marijuana deaths from zero overdoses on marijuana. In the prior year, there were 10,839 traffic fatalities and alcohol-impaired driving crashes. Well, I'm not going to say zero people got high and wrecked their car. But then again, we're not really seeing a huge public safety problem with marijuana drivers out there. In fact, we're seeing in the states where marijuana has been legalized, Colorado and Washington, their deaths, their fatalities per 10,000 miles have fallen at a rate greater than states with stricter laws like, say, Texas or Georgia. So I'm not saying marijuana is not dangerous on the roads. What I'm saying is it doesn't seem to be reflected in the statistics so far. So she also brings up figures that would be even higher if you figured in injuries and accidents or living with emphysema, lung or liver disease. Right. Emphysema, lung or liver disease, things that you do not get when you're using marijuana. Here's the simplest way to puncture the Sabbat conjecture. Whatever the cost to society that exists from marijuana, it exists now. Legalizing pot doesn't invent marijuana. There are already about 17 million people using it monthly. So whatever that costs us, we're paying that now. And we're paying a whole bunch more money in the $15 billion range to prohibit marijuana and not succeeding. And we're bringing in zero in taxes. Okay, so now we have marijuana cost plus prohibition cost plus zero in taxes. And that somehow is better than marijuana legal and taxed, bringing in the money and not having to spend so much on the enforcement. I know I went to public school, but for some reason the Sabbat conjecture don't work out for me. Now, the next point she wants to get to is the emergency room. You know, we have to understand from her point of view, marijuana is dangerous because in 2011, marijuana was involved in 455,668 emergency room visits nationwide. Folks, let me tell you the secret of the whole emergency room visit statistic. This comes from the Drug Abuse Warning Network. And what it does is it tracks the mentions or detections of drugs in people that are admitted to an emergency room. So let's say I go snorkeling on vacation. I'm snorkeling along and, you know, I smoked a joint on the beach, right? I go snorkeling along and, I get stung by a jellyfish. And they rush me to the ER and they test my blood or they ask me if I'd been smoking. And one way or the another, they find out I'd smoked some pot. And guess what? That's a marijuana related emergency room visit. Even though the pot had very little to do with the jellyfish stinging me, right? And similar things can happen when people are coming in from car wrecks or injuries or 911 calls, and they test the pee or they test the blood of the person who's come in, and they find metabolites of marijuana in their system, and they say, aha, marijuana-related emergency room visit, even though it was a joint the guy had smoked last night at a party or last week or whatever. That's the problem with any statistic about how many marijuana users there are, is that this, how they consider you a marijuana user is based on your body chemistry that only shows you had been using marijuana, not are using marijuana when the event happened. Now, another thing she likes to point out is the criminal justice relief, right? Is that many people think that the prisons are full of people that use marijuana, which isn't true. About half of the prisoners are there for something drug related, but it's not all marijuana. But she likes to say there are many people related to their marijuana use, but they're not there because they're convicted of a marijuana offense. Essentially, no one is in jail for solely using marijuana. No one. It's only 0.3% of 1.6 million people, which is about 4,800 people. But that's no one. That's just, you know, almost 5,000 people in jail solely for marijuana. Yeah, it's just nobody. But she points out that a lot of the people are there because they're on probation and then they test positive while on probation for another crime, right? So the pot test gets them put back in jail for the burglary or whatever, right? She says it's a misguided and unnecessary policy and should modify this policy to address prison overcrowding without having to legalize marijuana. Well, okay. So it would be something illegal, but people on probation who do it wouldn't go back to prison, but people who aren't on probation who do it could? Just legalize it already. What's this next one? Oh, I love this next one. The reports about the adolescents. Recent National Institutes of Health reports show that fewer adolescents believe that regular marijuana use is harmful to their health. Really? Fewer kids these days who've grown up their entire life with a number of states allowing for the medical use of marijuana for various serious ailments somehow think it's less dangerous than the generation who grew up being told it would lead straight to heroin and man boobs and chromosomal damage and amotivational syndrome and Cheeto-stained fingers and being a loser the rest of your life. And oh, and even the president coming on TV and talking about how the smoking of one marijuana cigarette would be equal in brain damage to standing on Bikini Island during an A-bomb blast. Wow! Shocking! Somehow the kids today don't think pot's as scary. Whoa! Blows my mind. This has been the problem with marijuana prohibition and dealing with the kids, is because you told them such bullshit with respect to cannabis, the safest drug. Once they took that and they found out it was pretty benign, they believed that all the rest of the stuff you told them about the really hard, dangerous drugs was bullshit too. That's a dual disservice. The next thing, oh yes, of course, it's more potent. The adolescents are using pot at a younger age, more likely to use on a daily basis, and marijuana that is much more potent than that used by previous generations. It's not your father's Woodstock weed, people. It's ultra super potent. It's up to 20%, sometimes 30% in these buds, sometimes even 90% in these dabs. So take this 100% Marinol pill with no CBD in it. What else do we got here? Oh, yes, of course, pot smoking will make you psychotic and stupid. The mental development is associated with the onset of major mental illnesses, including psychosis, schizophrenia, depression, and anxiety, despite the fact that the incidences of schizophrenia and schizotypal disorders have remained pretty much constant for 100 years. Ever since, you know, they've been taking mental records, you know, back to in Britain. They've looked through decades and decades and decades of these records and found no real statistical change in the amount of schizophrenia or psychosis in the population. Even during the 60s when pot use went up, in the 70s when it was sky high, in the 80s when it went down, in the 90s and it went back up, but the schizophrenics still stay about 1%, 1.1% of the population. Oh, and finally, I love this one. Legalizing marijuana will increase users, increase frequency, and have long-term consequences for our youth. Legalizing marijuana sends the explicit message to our youth that this drug is okay, that it is harmless, when it is addictive and can destroy their lives. Yes, if we legalized pot, it would tell the kids how great it is. You know, like legalized tobacco. You know how legalized tobacco means that we think tobacco's okay for kids and kids should use tobacco, and we can't stop talking to the kids about how great tobacco is because it's legalized and that means it's okay, right? Hey, if you're a tobacco smoker out there, raise your hand if you think anybody's been giving you some positive messages about smoking lately. Give me a break, Denny Carice. You're just trying to save your job and your steady income. The gig is up. Prohibition is on its way out. Find yourself a new job.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Hey, stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We got more coming up for you. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.